The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Welcome to Wines du Jour here at Manzu Restaurant in Las Vegas. Wines du Jour continues to be America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, bringing you important information about good wines and great food on each and every episode. Thank you for sending me your inquiring emails sent from your home country, literally from all around the world. I received them from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Argentina, from Baja California, Italy, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our weekly in-house special invited guest audience are ready to taste some great wines and some good food here that the chef has put together at the Manzu restaurant. Wines du Jour is now offering good information about food and wine and pairings for quite some time, and we appreciate your listening. Tonight, of course, is no exception, and the choices are going to be interesting, and I think you're going to find that you maybe even pick up a little bit of information from now and then that you didn't know about. Thank you for listening to Wines du Jour. We need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wine tasting is a sensory examination of evaluation of wines, in case you didn't know. Wines du Jour, a wine radio broadcast, is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio, CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, Wonder Radio, Warp Radio, and also on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast and free on iTunes. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. Wine is more than a beverage. It's a lifestyle. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with information, great taste, right here from Wines du Jour. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Pizzeria Manzu Restaurant here on West Flamingo in Las Vegas. It's a great little restaurant. They even have an upstairs where you can have your own private party if you have maybe a birthday or holiday celebration of some kind. It'll be a great thing for that. And the steps are, I think, 16 of them, so it's not too bad. It's easy to get up. They do not have an elevator, but they do have the steps. So keep that in mind. They have a great little wine cellar here. You can take a look at it, walk through it, check things out, and look at their wine list. And their menu is beautiful. And the best part is, not only is the food and service very good, but the price is very, very reasonable. So it's a place to go. Manzu, pretty neat name, a little bit unique. Now, tonight we have three different wines as we normally do. And I want to tell you a little bit about all three of them before we go to our first break. And that is, the first wine is called Tunnel of Elms. Tunnel of Elms from Napa, California. It's a Chardonnay, and it's 13% alcohol. And believe it or not, it retails for $10. Everybody here, our audience, is tasting it right now, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy when I said $10. They think, wow, what a bargain. It's carefully crafted. It's has subtle aromas of peach, a little apricot, some golden, delicious apple. And it pairs really well with pork, salmon, tuna, vegetarian work, or even a little bit of poultry will work out really well. I'll tell you what the chef here at Manzu has paired with it a little bit later. The second wine is a 2016 Castle Rock Rosé of Pinot Noir. Now, rosé of Pinot Noir is not, it's made from rosé or Pinot Noir grapes, but it's only the portion of it. We'll talk about how you make rosé a little bit later in the program. And it's 13.5% alcohol and retails for, believe it or not, $12. And number three, I don't have time to tell you about because we've got to go to a break. But when we come back, I'll tell you about it. You're going to love it as well. It's Behringer from Behringer Estates, you know, in Napa, California. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour at Manzu Restaurant in Las Vegas.
Vegas. No doubt, a city you've lived in, visited, or have read about. But is there life in Vegas beyond the glamour and glitter of the Strip? Experience life in Vegas, a rich, multicultural, visitor-friendly, 24/7 community. Vegas Life TV. The only network that carries 100% Vegas-produced TV programs. Vegas Life TV. Made in Vegas, for all of Vegas. Vegas Life TV. Now available globally on your iPad, Droid, Smart TV, and laptop. Vegas Life TV. Check out VegasLiveTV.us now.
Still got those annoying critters. I'm talking bees and fleas, spiders, ants, roaches, you name it. Plus those 24/7 wood-munching termites. Just make one easy call to Dewey, because Dewey knocks them down and keeps them out. To get Dewey's free inspection and $89 off with a regular maintenance program, call 800-209-0900, 800-209-0900, or go online to DeweyRadio.com. That's DeweyRadio.com.
Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're having a great time here at Manzu Restaurant on West Flamingo in Las Vegas. And before we went to the break, I started to tell you about wine number three that we're going to be talking about this evening. It's a 2012 Beringer Founders Estate Malbec. Oh, me likey Malbec. That's a good thing. That's 13.5% alcohol, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The alcohol portion on all three of these wines a little bit later. And it also, listen to this, folks, retails for $10. We find them, and they're not easy to find sometimes, but, boy, the deals are really good. So, anyway, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the three wines that we're having this evening, and I want to talk to you a little bit before we get into the show itself, a little bit more about wine consumption. Wine consumption, of course, we don't like excessive consumption. That's not necessarily a good thing. But drinking moderately wine is good to cut your risk in cardiovascular disease by 25%. So this is one of the main health reasons or benefits, if you will, to drink a little bit of wine. Now, when we say drink wine, we're talking about, generally speaking, 1 to 2 glasses of wine per day. Now, that's not bottles, that's glasses, and that 1 or 2 would be cool. So let's be completely clear that this is not, you know, wine is not medicine. More wine may not be a good idea. Excessive is not a good thing. Everything in moderation, I think, is probably the answer to what we're talking about in general. And I want you to know that an Italian study found that moderate wine and beer consumption reduced the risk of cardiovascular events, but not alcohol. When I say alcohol, I mean all the other spirits, you know, the tequila, the gin, the vodka, etc. That didn't fall into this, just wine. So wine is food, is what I say. I've been saying it now for quite a few years. And I'd like you to think about it as food as opposed to an alcoholic beverage per se. And the medical profession all around the world now agree that you should have 1 or 2 glasses of wine each and every day. That's the way it should be. Okay? That's just for your own personal health. And again, more is not necessarily better. So 1 or 2 glasses is cool. And I guess basically speaking, if you were to consider how much you're supposed to take each day, you and a partner, and in this case for me and my wife and I, we consume 1 bottle of wine with our dinner meal every day. So that's about 2 or just a little bit more than 2 glasses of wine for her, and just a little bit more than 1 or 2 or 2 point something glasses for me. So that's basically 5 glasses of wine out of 1 bottle. And the reason that is because a bottle of wine, of course, has 750 milliliters of liquid in it. And, of course, here in America, we have no concept of what a milliliter is. So let me convert it for you so that it makes a little bit more sense. A bottle of wine holds about 25 ounces of wine. So if you divide 25 ounces by the five glasses that I told you about earlier, you're pouring 5-ounce glasses. And typically speaking, a glass of wine should be about 5 to 6 ounces, depending on who's doing the pouring. If you're in a restaurant and you're buying a wine by the glass, you may end up with 6 ounces because the price they're charging is probably a little bit steep, and they want to make sure you don't feel like you're being shortchanged, so to speak. At home, you're going to take two people, drink one bottle of wine. That's 25 and a half, or actually 25.2 percent alcohol. And so it's not very much liquid, two glasses, and it's just perfect to make a dinner that much better. And I'd like you to think about your dinner, the full dinner being including wine. Okay? Make sense to you? I hope so. Another thing I wanted to mention to you also is what white wine is all about. I've got some things I've written down here that I want to talk to you about. White wine and then red wine and then food and wine pairings, just so that we can get it all together here before we go into the program itself. From room temperature, white wines need to be about an hour in the refrigerator, for about an hour. To achieve the proper temperature. And if the wine is too cold, it'll mask the aromas and flavors, making it just seem kind of blah. So don't drink wine directly out of the refrigerator while it's nice and cold. Give it a chance, we're talking 20, 30 minutes, to come to closer to room temperature, because your refrigerator, in case you don't know, is probably about 39 degrees. It's not over 40. Because over 40, everything would be moldy and going sour and so on and so forth. So it's got to be 40 or, in most cases, 39 degrees. That's pretty cold. So it's lacking a little bit of acidity and structure if you can't taste it. So make sure that you allow it to come closer to room temperature. The temperature that we recommend that you do, and I'm not suggesting that you have a thermometer to check it out, but if somebody asks you, what temperature do you recommend white wine to be? And I'm going to tell you, between 55 and 58 degrees is perfect. That means you can taste what you should taste and not taste what you shouldn't taste, if you know what I'm saying. And what I mean by that is, if it's a little bit too cold, it masks the taste or flavors. I said that a little bit earlier. But that just means you don't have an opportunity to taste how good the wine is. On the other hand, if it's too warm, it brings out some other negative flavors that you probably don't want. So if you can kind of consider it to be around 55 or 58 degrees, that would be perfect. On the other hand, drinking red wine is a little bit different. We like to think of red wine as consumable at room temperature, referred to as in the drafty stone castles of yesteryear. That's what we called room temperature. By today's standards, we're not talking about your temperature in your apartment or in your house at 77 or whatever degrees you've got it. That's pretty warm. In fact, if you wanted to put a thermometer in a bottle of red wine, we would look for it to be comfortably somewhere between 62 and 65 degrees. So we're saying white wine around 55 to 58 and red wine between 62 and 65. Does that make sense? Hope so. Sparkling wine now is a little bit unique. It has its own little rules and regulations, so to speak. And we like to see sparkling wine or champagne, whatever you want to call it. You know that champagne only comes from one area, and that's in France, called Champagne, France. It's the only place that has champagne. Everywhere else in the world, it's called sparkling wine. On the other hand, people call it champagne all the time because it's bubbly. And you're right, it is bubbly, and you can call it champagne if you want. It's up to you. But the thing I'm talking about is the temperature. And the temperature preferably is around 36 degrees for sparkling wine or champagne. and that's just a little bit colder than your refrigerator. Remember I told you it was around 39? So what you might want to do is to have the bottle of bubbly in the refrigerator, have a little bucket with some ice and water, and remember, when you're trying to cool something down, you do not ever just put ice in a bucket or in a container and then put your bottle in there. It will not get cold for an hour and a half. But what you do is you put the ice in and then about half as much water. So you actually have what we would refer to affectionately as a slush. So it's ice, ice water, literally. That will cool your bottle down in about 15 to 20 minutes. So if it's at room temperature to start with, and you have a bucket, you put some ice and water, so you got a mixture of 50% ice and 50% water, and you stick the bottle down in there, and it covers the bottle at least three-fourths of the way, not necessarily 100%, but three-fourths of the way. It'll take just a few minutes for it to chill down to the proper temperature. And that's the way you want to do it, especially with sparkling wine. The only thing I want to suggest about sparkling wine is twofold. Number one, sparkling wine and or champagne has a capsule and a cork in it, and you have to be very careful when you open the bottle. Two reasons. Number one, if the bottle's been moved around quite a bit, it's going to be pressurized, if you will, inside, and when you remove the wire basket, it's going to blow the cork right out of there. The basket is what keeps the cork in place. So make sure that you put your hand on top of the bottle, and then you can unscrew the wire. Just kind of spread it out a little bit. Take your hand off, pull the wire off, and put your hand back on the top of that bottle to hold the cork in. So if it does fly out, it doesn't break the chandelier or somebody's glasses or, you know, make some damage. And then you can hold on to the cork, tilt the bottle about a third of the way, and do not turn the cork, but turn the bottle. And that's the proper way to get the bottle away from the cork, okay? You turn the bottle, not the cork. Because what happens when you turn the cork is that when it comes out, it blows out. And then you end up having half of your bottle on the floor or on the kitchen table or wherever it might be. And if you just do it the way I'm suggesting, that is to hold on to the cork and twist the bottle nice and slowly. You can feel it coming out, and you won't lose or won't use a drop whatsoever. And that's a good thing, or at least I think it is. And incidentally, a couple things that pair very well with champagne or sparkling wine that you might not think about. I've got them written down here. Some caviar. Of course, I think everybody realizes that if you have caviar, a little sparkling wine or champagne is a good accompaniment for that. But cheese and fish and shellfish, cream sauces, pot pies. If you ever thought about a sparkling wine with a pot pie, try it sometime. You'll say, holy cow, what a great pairing. It really, truly is. Turnovers, if you do turnovers at home and you don't know what to serve with it. I mean, obviously most people, depending on what's in the turnover, whether it's meat or fish or what have you, would determine whether you would probably discuss having some red wine or some white wine. And I'm suggesting that you have a little sparkling wine to try out with the turnover. Sausages. What do you have? What kind of wine do you have with sausages? Especially pork sausage, or even chicken sausage, or Polish sausage for that matter. What would you think? Well, the answer, of course, is, yep, sparkling wine. Amazing, but true. And the condiments, salty foods, deep-fried foods, potato chips. What goes great with potato chips? And the answer most people say is everything. Potato chips and beer, that's what most people think of. I don't think of that myself. I think of potato chips with wine. And it could be a red wine or a white wine, but my favorite would be a sparkling wine with potato chips. Sounds crazy, but try it. You'd be real surprised. Okay, one more. Popcorn. What goes good with popcorn? Don't say beer. We're back to sparkling wine again, folks. Yeah, a little bit of bubbly along with popcorn is not a bad idea. And one more thing that'll kind of get your attention is French fries. What goes good with French fries? And don't say ketchup. What goes good with French fries? Yes, bubbly. It really goes good. Try it sometime. Sparkling wine and or champagne and French fries. A good combination. You can go to some bars that are really high-end, and you can sit down and order French fries and a glass of champagne, and they'll bring it to you without looking at you like you're crazy. Unbelievable. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking now with wine number one, which is a beautiful Chardonnay. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour. Be back in a moment.
Looking for some overdue rest and self-indulging relaxation? Do you love to discover new hidden travel destination gems and visit luxurious spas? Seek after new beauty products and all those don't miss specials? Then it's time to check in, relax, rejuvenate, and allow spa expectations guide you to the very best places the spa industry has to offer, all on one website. Simply visit the fabulous SpaExpectations.com website for everything spa and discover what you've been missing. That's SpaExpectations.com, enhancing your spa experience. And log on today to SpaExpectations.com now.
Have you purchased a wine refrigerator or put a wine cellar in your home? Maybe you have a new wine rack. Great news, but what wines will you buy to stock your wine rack? Let me, Michael Horn, help. I'll find the wines for your wine cellar with your taste in mind. We'll determine what varietals, Cabernet, Pinot, Chardonnay, what types of wine, California, French, Italian, you like. We'll find you one-of-a-kind wines from all of our friends we interview daily on the What's Cooking show and the What's Cooking on Wine show. On a budget, we'll find you the best affordable wines. Want hard-to-get library wines? We can source those for you, too. And if you need cigars, let L.A. Rams sports legend and iconic actor Fred Dreyer make your selections. Hey, we could even host a wine dinner for you or set up a sports cigar party with Fred. Call me, Michael Horn, at the What's Cookin' Today show. Call 818-818-6400. That's 818-818-6400. Let us find the dream wines of your lifetime.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. What happened to summer? You turn around and it's gone. So what do you do? Solution. Either stop turning around or head on over to Columbo's and enjoy the most delicious steaks imaginable. Seafood that brings awe and wonderment to your happy little taste buds. Columbo family Italian recipes so special, they're kept under lock and key at an undisclosed and secure location. Jazz every night and the world's greatest meatballs. Need I say more? Oh, but I will. Enjoy the summer and head on over to Columbo's Italian Steakhouse. Good Time Central. Columbo's, because it really is that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Manzu, a beautiful Italian restaurant. Hey, the food here is great. And, you know, not just the whole menu, but their real specialty is pizza. They do pizza like you can't believe. You know, we tend to think of pizza as being kind of boring and an everyday thing, and it probably is by most places where you buy it. But there are a few restaurants that really specialize in making pizza work well. And when I say work well, you know, there's two different kinds of pizza. When I say that, I'm talking about the thickness of the dough. If you're from New York, you love thin-crusted pizza. If you're from Chicago, you like thick-crusted pizza. I call it pie dough. I don't believe in that myself because it's kind of like a, it's not a, it doesn't even taste like pizza. It tastes like pie. I mean, it's just too thick. But there's a whole score of people around that love to have that thick crusted pizza, and that's okay with me if that's what you like. But again, if I have my druthers, I'd rather have the thin crusted pizza for sure. But the two things about that. First, number one, pizza originated in Italy, as you probably know, in Napoli. The Napoledamas, that's the people that live in Napoli, were the ones that started pizza, and they continue doing the very same thing. By that I mean they're still doing pizza like they did then, and that's where it all came from. You know, we had a war, a world war, and a lot of our Americans were over there in Europe, and that's when they discovered what pizza was all about. And when they came back home, they started making pizza, and the next thing you know, it grew like wildfire, because pizza is a pretty good product. It grew like wildfire, and next thing you know, there's pizza parlors all over the country. The unfortunate part is a lot of people that have or own a pizza parlor have never been to Italy, never tasted that Napoledama pizza, and so they don't know what it's really supposed to taste like. They just give you what you'd like, what they like. If they like it thick and they like it with a lot of red sauce or a lot of cheese or whatever the case may be, or no cheese, whatever the case may be, then that's what they serve. So don't be fooled when you go into a pizzeria and the pizza's different than what you maybe were accustomed to. And, of course, if you haven't been to Napoli, you don't know really what it is either. Somebody can tell you or help you. But the pizza from the Naples area is just so tasty. And, again, it's thin crust. And now let me just kind of go a little bit further with pizza. Thin crust now we're talking about can either have red sauce, which is what most people are familiar with, or it may have either a white sauce or it doesn't look like it has any sauce at all, which means it's olive oil. And so what they do, instead of red sauce, they'll put olive oil that's been macerated with garlic for a given period of time and put that over the pizza itself and then put whatever it might be. One of the rules that I like you to consider, and it's not a real rule in terms of the law by any stretch of the imagination, but what I'd like you to consider is having no more than three items on your pizza. You know, it's kind of like the more the merrier. No, it's not true. The more is not necessarily merrier. Three items is just about enough to work out perfectly. And that could be, you know, it could be a meat, it could be cheese, it could be a vegetable. You know, it could be all three meats, or it could be all three cheeses. All kinds of combinations that you can think of. But that's the way that works. And that's the way I suggest you consume your pizza. So making your pizza at home is a good idea. You can buy it already made in a little ball in the grocery store. You can go online and get a recipe. There's nothing to making pizza dough. But the key is the flour. And what I'm saying that for is do not use all-purpose flour unless, of course, you just have to have it that way. You don't have a choice. When you go to the store, find yourself a good quality flour that is not all-purpose. A1 is one that you know, might find even one that says pizza flour. Buy that and use it. I'm telling you, the size of the dough itself is what makes it taste good. So if you're using the real stuff instead of all-purpose, you'll find that the flour is working in the pizza dough the way you like it. Make it nice and thin. And yes, if you need to use a rolling pin to make it thin, go ahead and do that. If you can't do it by hand, that's okay. It'll work. And the key, of course, is to have your oven as hot as it will possibly go. Now, most ovens go at 500 or maybe 550. Make sure you turn it up to that and give it about 45 minutes to an hour before you're going to put your pizza in it. You want it to be super, super hot. The quicker and the faster that it cooks, the better it is. That's about as much as I can tell you about that. But so what you put on it is up to you. No more than three. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. So please don't go anywhere.
This is today's entertainment answer. What does actor Samuel Hunt think about playing Louis Zamperini in the new film, Unbroken: Path to Redemption?
It's pretty indescribable. You're talking about one of the greatest American heroes in our history through his actions, but also the way that he dedicated his life after the fact, and what he went through, where he came from, then how he dedicated his life. I mean, the story is just immense.
Unbroken: Path to Redemption, rated PG-13, in theaters September 14th. For this entertainment answer, I'm Matt Mungel.
Las Vegas. No doubt, a city you've lived in, visited, or have read about. But is there life in Vegas beyond the glamour and glitter of the Strip? Experience life in Vegas, a rich, multicultural, visitor-friendly, 24/7 community. Vegas Life TV. The only network that carries 100% Vegas-produced TV programs. Vegas Live TV. Made in Vegas, for all of Vegas. Vegas Live TV. Now available globally on your iPad, Droid, Smart TV, and laptop. Vegas Live TV. Check out VegasLiveTV.us now. Vegas Live TV.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
The following ad contains shocking material. Listener discretion is advised. Is someone in your family playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette? Over 43,000 people die a year from drug overdose. 120 people a day. 5 people every hour. 1 person every 12 minutes. 88,000 people die every year from alcohol abuse. Over 240 people a day, 10 an hour, 1 person every 6 minutes. Somebody you know may be next. Learn how to help someone you love get away from the drugs, alcohol, and bad influences. With the FMLA, people can take a leave of absence from their job and still keep it.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3315. 800-378-3315. 800-378-3315. That's 800-378-3315.
Welcome to your island home away from home at Kaanapali Beach Hotel. Relax and unwind on 11 acres of tropical gardens by the whale-shaped pool or in a beachfront cabana. Enjoy your favorite ocean activities, culture activities, and free nightly entertainment. A perfect setting for weddings, honeymoons, family vacations, or just a weekend getaway. Experience aloha at its best at Hawaii's most Hawaiian hotel. Call 661-0011 or visit kbhmaui.com and let us welcome you and your ohana to ours.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Manzu, a beautiful pizzeria restaurant on West Flamingo in Las Vegas. And we're having, we're finishing up with wine number one, which is it's a beautiful white wine. It's with the Tunnel of Elms. Is the name of the wine. I know you've never heard that before, but that's the actual label, says Tunnel of Elms. And it comes from Napa Valley, so you know it's not too shabby a Chardonnay. And it has nice peaches and apricots and an apple taste. And boy, I have to tell you, it went really, really good with the focaccia. The chef put together a little focaccia with some braised fennel. Now, you probably don't know too much about fennel. It's possible. But I have to tell you, you should discover it. Ask your produce manager at your local store about fennel. Take some home and try cooking it. You'd be amazed at how good it tastes. And he took some braised fennel and some swordfish along with a nice little orange salad that turned out to be perfect to go with our beautiful Tunnel of Elms Chardonnay. And we've gone now to number two. Oh, I wanted to tell you also that the Tunnel of Elms Chardonnay is 13% alcohol and retails for $10. Now, number two wine, which we're about to taste right now, is a beautiful Castle Rock Rosé of Pinot Noir. Boy, I have to tell you, this is a very nice wine, folks, and you won't believe it. It retails for about $12. Unbelievable. It's cool. It's crisp. And one of the things I like with this, incidentally, and I'll tell you what the chef has put together, one of the things I like with this Castle Rock Rosé of Pinot Noir is a goat cheese salad. Now, if you haven't made a goat cheese salad yourself, you might want to think about doing that. If you like goat cheese, good. If you don't like it, you should taste a little bit more because it's a good product. Goat cheese is a healthy thing for you to have, and making a little salad out of it can't be too difficult for very many people. If that doesn't work, maybe you have a little bit of crab that you could use, and crab would go very, very well with this Castle Rock Rosé of Pinot Noir. It's really smooth. It has kind of a cinnamon and nutmeg and cherry taste to it. It's really good, and it's got a beautiful color, at least I think it is, in the rosé of Pinot Noir. And, of course, what they've done is they've taken Pinot Noir grapes, and they have squeezed the juice out of the Pinot Noir grapes and then thrown the skins, the meat, and the seeds into that juice for a short period of time. And by that I mean maybe only a few hours, where normally when you're making Pinot Noir, you would take the Pinot Noir grapes, you would squeeze the juice out, you would throw the skins, the meat, and the seeds into that juice, and it might sit there for 4 or 5 days. So it would change color, taste, and texture. The tannin would be a lot different and so on because it's macerated, as we call it, for a given period of time. But when you do it for a short period of time for a rosé, it gives it a whole different taste. And so that's why I think you'll probably like this. And $12 for a bottle of this is a deal. I say that at nice. And the porchetta is what the chef put out tonight for us, with a little bit of lentils and some roasted potatoes. And let me tell you, what a great combination to go along with that. Okay, now let's get down to number three, because number three is what's coming up next. Number three is one of my favorite wineries in Napa, California, Behringer. And if you haven't been to Behringer when you go visit Napa, make sure that you do. They have a three-story, what used to be a family residence. They've converted it into tasting areas, and you can go to the first floor or the second floor, or if you know somebody, you can get up for a tasting in the third floor. Let me tell you, that's where you want to go if you have an opportunity, because the wines and the people up there are absolutely beautiful. It doesn't hold as many people as it does downstairs. It only holds maybe 12 or 14 people total. So if you've got a nice party of 10 people or, you know, a few, 8 or 10, whatever it might be, ask if you can go to the third floor and do a tasting up there at Behringer. When you drive up to this the Behringer tasting room, like I say, it used to be a family residence, so it's a big, beautiful three-story home. Old, old, old looking. And incidentally, about 100 yards from that building is some caves that they have. And they've got some beautiful wines in the caves. You can do a tour through the caves. It's a great place to go. Okay, this this Malbec that we are tasting is the Behringer Foundation Estate Malbec varietal. And it has some toast flavor, a little burnt earth, if you will, to it. It's kind of unique. boysenberry, a little dark fruit, some tobacco, and it has what I think is a very nice tannin to go along with the varietal, which is a Malbec. And Malbec is a varietal that you, I'm sure, have heard about. Whether you're familiar with the taste of it or not, I don't know. It is very similar in many ways with Cabernet Sauvignon, but it's not quite as bold. And boy, let me tell you, it's tasty and it's very, very food-friendly. So, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll talk about a little stuffed ground beef, pork, garlic, and pecans and mint that we paired with it here. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Coast to coast and around the world on the internet when we return, right here on Wines du Jour at Manzu in Las Vegas.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Hey, Lorraine, do you realize that your mother, my mother-in-law, Chef Maria, has been serving Las Vegas since 1949?
Yes, I do, Dennis. That's when she first met Howard Hughes, who fell in love with her cooking.
And in 1955, she opened her first restaurant on Fremont Street.
Yes, dear. And another great customer was Liberace.
Wow. Then in 1962, while Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack were causing global excitement on the Las Vegas Strip, your family opened their second restaurant.
And in 1972, Elvis Presley began electrifying Las Vegas audiences and eating in our restaurant.
You know, Lorraine, this is quite a town. There's only one Las Vegas.
And there's only one Bootlegger Italian Bistro.
Folks, when you're in Las Vegas, come visit us. We'll make you feel like you're part of our family.
The Bootlegger Italian Bistro, conveniently located at 7700 Las Vegas Boulevard, South Strip. Visit our website at www.bootleggerlasvegas.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Fred Dreyer. You listen to me every week on the Sports Lounge. Well, I'm here to tell you my good friend and co-host, Michael Horn, is making his wine knowledge and his incredible industry contacts available to you. Mike will educate you in the world of wines. He will stock your wine cellar, wine refrigerator, or wine rack with one-of-a-kind wines. Also, as a lover of a great glass of port, I will share with you my experiences in finding the cigars that fit your palate. I will help you stock your humidor with great cigars that reflect your growing taste and the very best smokes for your budget. Mike and I can set up a once-in-a-lifetime wine dinner, and I can host a sports cigar party. Call us today at 818-818-6400. That's 818-818-6400. Let us find the dream wines and cigars of your lifetime.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Manzu. And guess what? We got the owner and the chef to come over here and sit down for a couple minutes, which is a really good thing. You know, if we just say Gio, you know you either know him or you're just guessing, because his real name is Giovanni. And everybody knows that's a good Italian name, and the last name, of course, is Mauro. A beautiful, beautiful Italian family. And let me tell you, they know how to cook. And they've been in the restaurant business for a long time. How long have you been in the business, Chef?
Oh, well, I started when I was 14, so 32 years I've been cooking.
Wow.
In the kitchen.
Well, you know what? I started when I was 14 also, but
see,
it's been
I always knew I liked you.
Boy, I have to tell you, the food tonight pairs so well with the wines.
Great. Glad to hear it.
I thought it was good. The Chardonnay, of course, right off the bat, that's one thing. But when you get to a rosé, and I talked a little bit about rosé of Pinot Noir tonight, which is what we poured. Boy, the taste of that Pinot is so good, and your pairing was very, very tasty.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
What are you doing here at this restaurant? How long have you had this?
So we've been here for 6 months now. You know, it took us about 18 months to get it ready for the public, and it was a lot
You're
of
right.
trial and tribulation, but we got there.
You did a beautiful job, I have to tell you. This is completely different than what it used to be.
Thank you. And, you know, the idea behind this restaurant is to bring to Vegas all the foods that I remembered eating in the streets of Italy.
Ah.
And all over Italy. I'm a fan of street food, and that was the whole philosophy. And it starts, of course, with pizza. Pizza is the ultimate street food in Italy.
Sure, you bet.
And it goes to all these little knick-knack things that people really don't see in the States, and they a lot of times don't even recognize as Italian. So we've got a little bit of a learning curve, if you will, to let everybody know what we're doing. And but once I feel like once they taste the cooking, then they're hooked because this food speaks for itself.
Right, absolutely. What would you say are a couple of the things that they may not be familiar with that you'd like them to recognize
tasting? Yeah, one of them is the stuffed lemon leaves, which everybody loves. It has a very soft center, and the whole point of the lemon is to make sure that the middle stays nice and moist and pink. So it is, and it also imparts flavor. And what we do is we have this beautiful ground stuffing of beef and pork and herbs, and we put it in between two lemon leaves, and then we grill it off.
Ah.
And that gives it a beautiful lemony flavor, and it makes sure that it doesn't char it at all, so it stays very moist and supple. And this is something from the eastern portion of Sicily, which is where my family's from the Catania region all the way to Taormina, where there's a lot of citrus grown there. And this is a dish that is typically done there. And, you know, you're in the piazza in Catania at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody eats there very late. And you're seeing people roast these off and passing them down 5, 10, you know, in a big paper bag or a newspaper. And a lot of beautiful memories growing up, and I hope to
everybody had an opportunity to taste it, and when you started talking about how it was made and so on, now they have tasted again. It tastes a whole lot of difference than it did before.
I'm glad.
And that's a good thing because they understand what it's all about, and you're absolutely right. So many people just have no clue what Italian cuisine is all about. You know, we know spaghetti and meatballs.
Right. The thing of it is that we know just specific things, and we assume that that is the whole island, or the whole peninsula. Italy is so wealthy with food traditions. From the north to the south, you have such a complete contrast in flavor. And it has to do with the climate and things that grow there naturally.
Very
and
diverse.
Its history. Very, very diverse. And a lot of times, you know, I had one comment that my food doesn't taste Italian, it tastes Mediterranean. And I just kind of stopped in my tracks because, of course, the peninsula happens to be in the Mediterranean Sea.
That's true.
And it is just, what do you mean? It's, yes, of course, it's Mediterranean. But I'm excited to bring to the table something that is off the beaten path. That is my goal with this restaurant.
That's super. You're doing a beautiful job. I just want to mention something about Italian cuisine that a lot of people aren't familiar with. In northern Italy, which is where the majority of Italian cuisine has actually come from, they have cattle. That means that they have cream, and they have milk, and they have cheese, and so on. But when you go to the southern part of Italy, where it's hot, more like Las Vegas than anywhere else, they don't have the cattle down there. So their typical type of food is more related to tomatoes or red sauce, if you will. So you can almost tell an Italian dish, if it's authentic, whether it's red sauce or whether it's cheese, whether it's from the northern part of Italy or from the southern.
Correct.
That's if you know.
Correct. And the lipid of choice is also a factor. We'll use a lot more butter up north than we will down south.
Absolutely.
We'll use olive oil down south. And it's funny that, you know, center Italy, right in the center, they use both, depending on the dish. So
That's right. And
a lot more pork in the center.
Yes.
You know, I think of the Roman amatriciana, right, which is made with pork jowl and tomatoes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A mixture of the two.
And delicious.
Oh, it's out of this world.
Well, I think it's good. I'm sure glad you were able to get out of the kitchen and come in over here and talk to us, because there's so much information that people just aren't familiar with. It's not just this restaurant. It's Italian cuisine in general. The chef has gone to a lot of trouble to take his restaurant and give you an opportunity to discover some of the foods that you might not know if you didn't go here. You know, and that's a bad thing. So, if you haven't come to Manzu, you know it's on West Flamingo. I told you that, around Jones. And you need to know that that's a restaurant you can come to for lunch, or for dinner.
And also brunch, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 10 a.m.
There you go. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Looking for some overdue rest and self-indulging relaxation? Do you love to discover new hidden travel destination gems and visit luxurious spas? Seek after new beauty products and all those don't miss specials? Then it's time to check in, relax, rejuvenate, and allow spa expectations guide you to the very best places the spa industry has to offer, all on one website. Simply visit the fabulous spaexpectations.com website for everything spa and discover what you've been missing. That's spaexpectations.com. Enhancing your spa experience. And log on today to spaexpectations.com now.
Come to Angelo's and Finchi's Restaurante to see memorabilia of movie stars and theatrical magic right in downtown Fullerton, California. The Art of the Great Masters in an Italian town square complete with storefronts of old, Italian butchers and cheesemongers, fruit and wine vendors, seamstresses showing their wares, the romance of Romeo and Juliet. Find our mystical Room of the Moon, and don't forget King Kong, Dracula, Frankenstein, and who knows what awaits you in the wine cellar. Enjoy the great food. We hand-stuff our pastas, roll each and every tortellini, bake our own bread, and make all of our sauces fresh from our private stock of Sicilian family recipes. Pasta to seafood, chicken to award-winning pizzas, tiramisu flowing in from Rome. If you can't find something on our menu to tempt you, you don't like Italian food. Try our Sunday brunch, all you can eat, just $21.95. And Angelo's and Vinci's has been named the best Italian restaurant in Orange County 2 years in a row, and our owner has been named Restaurateur of the Year. Angelo's and Vinci's, Fullerton, California, 714-879-4022 or angelosandvincis.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're at the Pizzeria Manzu restaurant in Las Vegas on West Flamingo, just about Jones. Let me tell you, it's a place that if you haven't been to yet, you need to go to. And when you come here, ask if you can talk to Giovanni. Giovanni, or Gio, as he's known by his friends, Giovanni is a guy that can just explain to you not only what's on the menu, but where it came from and why. And one of the things that he has done as a personal challenge is to try to get people to understand more Italian cuisine than ever before. We're not talking about spaghetti and meatballs, folks. I mean, yes, okay, that is Italian. But there's a whole big world out there that hasn't been touched yet.
Thank you for that lovely introduction to what I'm about to tell everybody. And this is a particular thing that is near and dear to me, and that's the name of the restaurant. The name of the restaurant is Monzu. Monzu comes from the French Monsieur. During the era of the Kingdom of Two Sicilies, which comprised of southern Italy, from Naples, a little north of Naples, all the way down and encompassed the island. During that time, it was a very, very economically viable, thriving part of the world. And they imported a lot of chefs from France. And then after the Revolutionary War of France, a lot of these chefs found themselves unemployed, and they were hired by the southern Italian nobility.
Huh.
And they were all referred to in France as monsieurs. But, of course, southern Italians could not pronounce monsieur, and so they started saying monsu and monzu, and this is where the name monzu comes from. And for the next 200 years, any chef in southern Italy that was of any notable reputation would always be referred to as a monsu. Monsu, monsu. And that is where the name comes from, is that it is as rich in history, in Italian history, as it gets. And it's it was very important for me to share that with everybody.
Well, I mentioned what you were trying to do, and now you just told us what one of the great things that you're doing is that's the simple name of the restaurant. That's a good thing. The food here is outstanding. Now, don't tell me you've created all this on your own.
No, I am not really an innovator. I am a nostalgic cook. I look at recipes that were done when I was growing up, that my grandmother used to talk about, and I do research and find them. And my guiding light when I'm cooking is, if my grandparents were still with me, if my great-grandparents were with me and I would put this in front of them, would they feel at home? And if they do, if they would, then I know I've done a good job.
That's beautiful concept.
And it comes even with the dough. You know, my idea of not using commercial yeast ever and all natural fermentation that makes things much more lighter and digestible comes from that philosophy. How did my great-grandmother, how did her mother make bread? How did they make pizza? This is how they did it. They did it with long, slow fermentation, natural fermentation. They didn't have yeast made in the lab. And guess what? People back then didn't have issues with wheat like we do today. And this is my mission, to provide a pizza that is healthy, easily digestible for people. And just going back to what used to be a natural order of food.
Well, you know, I talked before you came over here, I talked a little bit, yeah. Great stuff, huh? I talked a little bit about flour and the typical flour that's in America compared to the flour that's used for pizza and so on in Italy. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I could write a book about that. I don't know how I'm going to cram it into 15 seconds here, but I will tell you one thing, that if we just remember that the earth provides the way it's supposed to, and we as men don't try to muck it up, then we're going to be eating naturally and we're going to be eating healthily. And that goes true with wheat. There's great wheat being produced all over the world. Italy also sorts wheat from this country, but it is the producers that count, because one area can make great wheat, and across the street they could be full of pesticides and all kinds of nonsense. So,
got it. I understand. Folks, you got to come to Monzu. That's the place to come to and find out. We got to go. I want to thank you very much and listen to Wines du Jour. We've enjoyed tonight. From the left coast, from the east coast, from all around the world on the internet, from Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Chef Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.